Sam.
Appreciate John, you're reading the scriptures, and Jeff introducing and welcome everybody. We're glad you're here. We got a lot of visitors with us today, and we want you to know how glad we are to have you, and we hope and trust that as we study the Word of the Lord, that good will be accomplished. Since I haven't been up here for a while, I want us to sing God is So Good. Is that all right? I didn't wear green today. Somebody asked me about that. I forgot all about it, to be frank with you. But anyway, let's all stand if you can, and let's sing God is So Good. Here we go together. God is so good. Much, please be seated. Today we're studying in the series of lessons on looking unto Jesus. Today our subject is hope. In Hebrews chapter 12, remember the Bible says the Hebrew writer, after giving us a list of people that are faithful to God, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking where? Looking unto Jesus. All attention focused upon Jesus. And what a wonderful subject the Bible gives us concerning hope. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Yet today, we need to look at hope. We want to study about people who have no hope and about people whose hope is false and look at the true hope. Joe, it's sure good to see you back. I tell you, I see him back there. He's been away because of a fall, and we're surely glad to see him. Definition of hope. Well, it's confident expectation. Why? Bynes Expository Dictionary, and the word says, it is a desire to obtain and the expectation to receive. I want to go to heaven. You know what the Bible tells us? That heaven is prepared for those who are prepared to go there. And I want to go there. We sung a little while ago. How beautiful heaven must be. A place that you've read about. You know that does exist. Though you have never seen it, you have hope. You want to be able to go there. What a terrible thing to even think that one in this building this morning might miss heaven because they have no hope, because they don't expect to go there, because they're not living right. In Romans 8, Paul writes, and he says, for we are saved by hope. Saved by what, Paul? We're saved by hope. That is, but hope that is seen is not hope. Why, if you already saw something, you wouldn't have to hope to be able to go there. If you never saw it before, now then you see it. What for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, There's hope. Doing what? We want to see a place that Abraham was seeking. We want to see the place where Moses will be. Friend, we want to be with God. And to have that hope in you spurs you on, makes you want to do the will of the Lord. In the book of Ephesians 2, as John was reading to us today, in chapter 2, it's divided up by being saved by grace through faith, brought near by the blood of Christ. And Paul speaks of Christ as being our peace, and then Christ as the cornerstone. And we're zeroing in. And listen again, as John read to us from the Word of God. Therefore remember, he wanted them not to forget it. Therefore remember that you once were Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. That at that time, there was a time when you Gentiles, there was a time that you were without Christ. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope. Wow. Having no hope and without God. What a miserable condition to be in. Having no hope and without God in the world. But now, there was a time that you were like that. There was a time when you were like a person who has no hope and without God. But look at what he says. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made near by the blood of Christ. How precious it is to have hope. And yet, right here, Paul writes to these Ephesians. And he said they had at one time been uncircumcised without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But Christ came, and now you're in Him. The blood of Christ is so important. It is essential that you and I be in Christ to have the benefits of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Without the blood of Christ, there is absolutely no salvation. There is no hope. There is no God for those who are not in Christ. Well, how do you get into Jesus Christ, first of all? Well, the Bible tells us in Romans 5, verses 8 and 9, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more, being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. What a wonderful good news for all of us who are old, for all of you that are middle-aged, for those that are young. Justified, declared such as you ought to be, in the sight of God, justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Galatians 3:27 says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, that puts a premium on something. People who have not been baptized scripturally into Christ are still as the Gentiles were. No hope, no God. Justification where? In Christ, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Everyone in this building today, everybody in the city of Athens, in the state of Alabama, in the wonderful USA, everywhere in the world, those who are accountable to God but have not been baptized for the remission of their sins, they have no hope and without God. How do you get into Christ? The Bible says, Galatians 3:27, you're baptized into Him. Can you believe into Him and be saved? We'll consider that. There are people who have no hope. How could the atheists today, people who say they don't only believe in God, no hope without God? In Psalms 14, verse 1, the Bible says, the fool has said in his heart. Where did he say it in his heart? What did the fool say? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You could find a number of people in America. You could find a number of people in the world today who will stand up and tell you, I don't even believe in God. No hope and without God. How could the Antichrist, the person who is against Christ, opposed to Him, have any hope? Well, he can't, because John 14, verse 6 says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. How can people who are Jews, who reject Jesus as the Messiah, have hope in God today? They can't. Why? Jesus said, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. So, there are those who absolutely have no hope. They have not God. And the reason being, they're not in where hope is. But one thing that makes me so sad is to hear a person stand up and tell you, and they'll say, look for you right in the face a lot of times, I believe that I'm saved. And I'm saved, and nothing I do or ever did will cause me to be lost. Well, will the people who think that they have Jesus Christ by calling Him Lord, Lord, will these people have God? Will they have hope? They think they're right, but are they? Listen to the Master. In Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 23, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Wait a minute. Is there something for a person to do in order to be acceptable to God? Listen to what Jesus said. If a person calls me Lord, Lord, but does not do the will of the Father which is in heaven, well, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Lord, Lord! But do they have Jesus? Do they have hope? Many will tell you today, I have hope, and never have been baptized into Jesus Christ. Then Jesus said, well, I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Have you heard people say these things? Number one, serve God any way you want to. Just be sincere in it. Do anything you care to do. Save by saying the sinner's prayer. Just say the sinner's prayer and you'll be saved. Be baptized if you want to, but you don't have to come to worship or just attend any church you desire. One way is as good as another way. And they forget, Jesus said, I am the way. No way but His way. God loves everybody, they'll tell you, and He's going to save us all. Doesn't make any difference what you do. God's going to save you in the condition you're in. Is that what the book says? Let's consider Saul for just a moment. He'd rejected Jesus. He'd never been baptized. The Bible tells us that he was a person that persecuted the people of God. Do you think he was right? Was Saul right in doing that? Well, Paul said in Acts 23, verse 1, I have lived in good conscience before God unto this day. He did what he thought he ought to do. Why, in Acts chapter 26, verse 9, the Bible said, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus. What did Jesus ask Saul when he appeared to him on the way to Damascus in Acts chapter 9? Why persecutest thou me, Jesus asked him. What did Saul ask him? Who art thou, Lord? What did Jesus tell him? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. What did Saul ask Jesus? What wilt thou have me to do? Stop. Some would say he's saved. He's now with God. No matter what happens to him, he'll go to heaven. But wait. What did Jesus say to him when he asked the question, what wilt thou have me to do? Jesus said to him, arise, go into Damascus, and it will be told you what to do. And then in Acts 22, Ananias is sent unto him. And he comes to him. What was the first question that this man asked the sinner, Saul? And now why taverest thou? Arise and be baptized. Wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And you read in Acts 9:18 that he immediately arose and was baptized. After there fell from his eyes, as there had been scales, he received strength to see. Forthwith he arose and was baptized. Where does that put a person who's never done what the Lord told Saul to do? Friend, I want to tell you what. Jesus even prophesied and said in John 16, verse 2, they shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you, you know what? Whoever kills you, brethren, they will think that they do God's service. But just because they think that, it doesn't mean they are. How tragic. Saul thought he was doing what God wanted him to do. It's sad. I don't like to hear it. When people talk about loved ones who passed away, who never darkened the door of the church, who doesn't care anything about religion, and they say, but he was a good man. What do you mean? How can you be good if you do not do what the Lord says for you to do? Many think that once they are saved, they never can fall. Is that right? In Galatians 5, verse 4, there Paul writes and he says, Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law. You are fallen from grace. Read it. It's there. Galatians 5, verse 4, tells us that people can and do fall from grace. Because he tells them, read it. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law. You are fallen from grace. They couldn't fall from something they had been in. In James 5, verses 19 and 20, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Can brethren err? Yes. Can brethren give up? Look at Demas. Well, that man, he was a Christian. He'd worked with Paul. Well, Paul even sends greetings to the Colossians. And Demas is sent as greeting them. He writes to Philemon. And Demas' name is right there. But when he writes in the last words that he would ever write in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10, he now mentions Demas. For Demas has forsaken us, having loved this present world, and is departed to Thessalonica. Demas, a Christian. Demas, saved. But Demas, now, giving up on the Lord, loving this present world. You can't love the world and please God. Because John tells us in 1 John 2, and he says, love not the world, verse 15, neither the things that are in the world. Don't do it. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, abideth forever. Boy, when you read 2 Peter 2, though, and God gives you a description of an individual who just goes back to the world. How many of us have loved ones that we love? We want them to be saved, but they don't darken the doors of the church building anymore. They don't read their Bibles. They don't seek help from the Lord. Look what the Bible says happens to people. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Who said that? Peter. Why did he say it? God wanted it to be said. Look in verse 21. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it's happened to them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Can a person change, fall from the grace of God? Absolutely. I hear people saying, I believe that I'm saved by faith and faith alone. I know you got to have faith. Why? In Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And James tells us in James 2, verse 24, you see then how that by works a man is justified. And the only place in the Bible that it tells you about faith only is right here in verse 24, and not by faith alone. That's what God says. What? Not by faith alone. Who said that? That's what the Lord said. You mean there's more to it? Sure is. You've got to do what he tells you to do. What we want is true hope, though, that real hope. We want people to be saved. I hope and pray that every single one under the sound of my voice is ready to meet the Lord today. But if you're not ready and you die in that condition, you're not going to have any hope. But here, look what the Bible says. We're saved by hope. Romans 8, verse 24. Jesus said, go out and preach and teach people to be baptized. And make them disciples, man. Mark chapter 16, 15 and 16. Boy, when you read 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 and 8, you let that digest in you. I want you to remember this, that Scripture says, in flaming fire, to those who obey not, vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glorious power who said it, God, through whom by Paul is writing to whom? To the Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 8. Real hope, true hope, comes to those who fight a good fight, who finish the course, who keep the faith, don't give up. You remember when Paul was about ready to be decapitated? The Bible tells us that he was going to die. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day, not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. What a wonderful way to die. Why? He had hope. He had God. He was ready to go. Are you? Am I? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your work is not in vain in the Lord. Revelation 2 and verse 10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee the crown of life. It's a wonderful thing to walk in the light as he is in the light. 1 John 1, verse 7. And when we sin, we confess our sins. We acknowledge them because we want to be right. As James tells us in James 5, 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Back in the Old Testament, there is something that just radiates, gives us hope, gives us strength. The Lord is my strength and my shield, the psalmist says in Psalms 28 and verse 7. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. Philippians 4 verse 13 ties that into us. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And then back to the Old Testament, and What a passage in Psalms 46, verses 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I want to stop there for a moment. There are a lot of people that are having a lot of problems right now. They're husbands and wives, not getting along very well. And you know why? They're not happy. Why aren't they happy? If both were serving the Lord, if both was doing the Lord's will, look what joy you get when you know that the one that you've chosen is going to walk with you as you walk with God. But their homes, they're being broken. Little children are crying out because of the disruption in the family. They're old people. That is real taxing sometimes. Younger people have to do all they can for them. There's problems. But oh, how thankful when you are with God. Oh, how thankful when you have hope. You can say, as the psalmist says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. In Hebrews chapter 13, he says it like this. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee. That's the person who has God in his life, who has hope beyond the grave that someday he'll be in a place better than this one. Friend, when you have that kind of hope, surely you have the greatest encouragement to keep on keeping on. Proverbs 20, verse 24 says, man's steps are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way? You can't. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14, verse 12. Jeremiah said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. Jeremiah 10, verse 23. Proverbs 26, verse 12 says, do you see a man wise in his own eyes who will not listen to God, who will not pay any attention to the direction of the Lord? He says, there is more hope for a fool than for him, because he won't pay any attention. No wonder. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Paul writes in Romans 5, that hope that we have, therefore, being justified by faith, and didn't say faith only. Justified by faith, yes, but by faith that obeys. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. What? When we're persecuted, we still rejoice. Knowing that tribulation does what? Worketh patience. Don't we need it? And patience gives us experience. And experience gives us hope. There it is. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation, continuous in prayer. Romans 12, verse 12. Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. That's hope. That's the kind of hope that gives you God and gives you hope that when you leave this old world, you're going to a better place, because of Jesus suffering and dying for you and for me. 22 years ago, at 4:45 a.m., this morning, I was awake. I looked up at the clock, and I remembered where I was. 22 years ago, I was sitting by my mom's bedside with my sister Lydia and my wife Ann. And my mom was drawing her last breath. March 17th is a day that will live forever in my mind, of one that I loved so much, who gave us all so much, all nine kids, she loved us all. But then it came a time when I had to tell her goodbye. As she breathed her last breath, I can remember falling on her, crying like a baby. Not that I didn't have hope, but because I was going to miss her so much. You've got loved ones that you love so much. Go out here in the O'Neill Cemetery. Look at the graves of your loved ones and the different ones, the graves where your folks are buried. I want to ask you this morning, do you have that hope that so many of these people had? I believe Danny said he counted up, we had lost some 33 people out of this congregation since the last directory was made. A lot of our folks are long gone. They're not here. But I'll tell you what, I want to go and be with those who are with the Lord. Don't you? That's hope who gives it to you. God, are you ready to meet the Lord? And you have that hope of seeing Him. And that wonderful, wonderful thing when God says to His Son, well done, good and faithful servants, enter thou into the joys of thy Lord. Nothing can compare to that moment when again I can see my mom, my dad, brothers and sisters who will be saved, who will be in heaven. I want to be there too. If you're in this assembly, you have no hope and you're without God because you've never obeyed the gospel. You've reached the age of accountability. You know what the Bible teaches you. Believe it. Do something about your soul. Why not be baptized for the remission of your sins this morning? And if you're here today and you're a child of God, but you don't have hope because what you've done is wrong, you haven't ever corrected it, ask God to forgive you. He will. He's promised to forgive us. And that gives you hope. I want us to sing, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, His righteousness. You think about that song today. If you're in this assembly and you're subject to this invitation of Jesus Christ, we invite you to come to Him, obey Him right now while together we stand and while we sing.